Discussions in this show should not be construed as specific recommendations or investment advice. Always consult with your investment professional before making important investment decisions. Securities offered through Cambridge Investment Research, Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services through Cambridge Investment Research Advisors, Inc., a registered investment advisor. Cambridge and Heritage Financial are not affiliated. Welcome back to Making Money Fun. I'm John Gay. I'm joined by Shanna Tingem from Heritage Financial in Phoenix, Arizona. And Shanna, a lot going on, talking about market volatility today. But before we get to that, let me just ask, how are you doing? Are you hanging in okay?
Yeah, I'm actually doing really great. I miss being able to see my clients face-to-face in person at my office, but via video is the next best thing.
Yeah, there you go. I feel like new normal is like the buzzword of the century right now. But I should mention we are recording this on Friday, March 27th. Things change quickly, so everything we discussed today is accurate as of when we were recording it here on March 27th. So Shanna, market volatility, what it means, what we should do when it happens, what we've learned about previous periods of volatility. Like many people over the last few weeks, I guess, hearing the news about the Dow plummeting, we're in a correction, a lot of red arrows. What are we seeing now, as of today, at least during this COVID-19 pandemic?
That's a great question. And there are so many parts of it, but we're going to kind of start at the beginning a little bit and make sure that we've got a good foundation moving forward. So let's start with what the market is. I know that I talked about this on one of the very first podcasts that I did with you, John, but I want to just touch on it here. So when you hear the news referring to the market, they're most often referring to the Dow or the Dow Jones Industrial Average.
Right.
The Dow only has the 30 largest companies in the U.S. in it. So it's not a great cross-section, but it is what the news uses when they talk about the Dow moving. There are also two other indexes that we watch pretty closely here in the United States. One is the S&P or Standard & Poor's that has 500 companies in it. And then if you're in Silicon Valley or in the tech industry in any way, shape, or form, you pay attention to what's called the NASDAQ, which has 3,300 companies, give or take, in it. So those are the indexes that in this industry and the news industry especially follows to let us know how our markets are doing.
Got it. So I've heard words like correction, bear market. What do those terms mean for anybody listening?
We are absolutely in a correction, and a correction typically means when the value in a specific index, a specific sector, or even with a specific stock drops 10% or more, not quite 20%, but somewhere between 10 and 20%. We call that a correction. Mm-hmm. That could mean a short-term issue. It could also mean an indicator of a longer-term trend. So when prices drop 20% or more, that's when we get concerned about the fact that we might be heading into a bear market. And a bear market is really a prolonged period of market declines. And honestly, John, nobody knows that that's the case right now. I don't have a crystal ball. It broke a few weeks ago.
into a gazillion pieces, I bet.
It exploded into a bunch of different pieces, but there's just a lot of data out there that we're going to talk about that makes me feel really confident that we're not in a traditional bear market, given what we've seen in the past. Because historically, over 80% of the time, a correction does not equal a bear market. It's important to note that.
80% of it dating back to 1974. This pandemic thing seems so much scarier to most people. There is some difference with this in the past, right?
Yes, there is. This is kind of a boogeyman we don't know, right? Mm. So to compare it to 9/11, we knew who the enemy was.
Yeah.
They flew planes into our buildings. We set out a course to find them and solve the problem. That's a much harder thing given the COVID-19 pandemic. We don't know who has it, who's transmitting it, where they've been, who they've been in contact with, or even in a lot of cases, how long it stays around once it's been transmitted to a surface or in an area. So there's a lot of unknowns right now. And unknown information is really what causes the markets to panic a little bit.
Yeah. No, I think about wiping down our groceries with Clorox wipes when we brought them in the house. I think about, we kind of have a system now where the mail comes, we'll put it out and we'll leave it for a day on our porch before we bring it in. Amazon packages, because there's no hard and fast numbers and data for this. You see people like Dr. Fauci on the news all the time, and there's just some stuff about this that we don't know.
Yeah, there's a lot we don't know. And towards the beginning of this pandemic, a lot of the information we were getting from other countries, we weren't sure we could trust.
Yeah.
So that caused a little bit of uncertainty. And then when it hit home, when it started coming to the United States in areas like LA, Washington, New York, that really caused things to sort of freak out a little bit. So, you know, that is what really has caused, quote, the downturn in the market, is that people like you and I, or institutional investors like mutual funds and pension funds, when they sell their investments, that causes the markets to drop, the Dow, the S&P, the NASDAQ. And then when it drops, more people sell. And it's sort of like a self-fulfilling prophecy that really happens.
Like that old Lemmings video game.
Oh, for real. Yeah, it's unfortunate. But that's really what we saw happen last week, is that, you know, the news got bad and then it went from bad to worse as more people sold. So this week's been better, but I don't know this to be certain. But in a lot of cases where we've seen situations like this, it gets worse before it gets better. Mm-hmm. So I'm kind of cautiously optimistic that we might be on the tail end of the correction, but it still could drop again. And we are starting to see that a little bit today. You know, really, the market is super emotionally driven for people. And when people have emotional reactions to their money and they don't have somebody like me telling them, please, 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 please don't sell, they go into their 401k and they press the sell button just so that they can stop the fear and the bleeding, which is honestly precisely the wrong thing to do. But that's what so many people do when we're in the middle of something like this.
We've talked so many times in previous episodes about how much money and emotion are tied together. So to that point, if the market's dropping, what should investors do if we shouldn't sell?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there are lots of different things you can do to really control what you can control. So what we're in now is kind of a buyer's market, right? The market has dropped a little bit. To use a throwback reference on this one, if you remember Kmart, we're in Kmart and the blue light's on right now.
I love that you and I are close to the same age that we get each other's pop culture references.
Yeah, you totally get that one. And any of our older investors, Generation X and Y and older, will get that one. The market is on sale. So there are some things you can do to take advantage of that. I'm certainly not suggesting you try to time the market. That is precisely the opposite of what I'm saying. But if you have not yet made your contribution to your IRAs, now's the time.
I can tell you from experience that a couple of weeks ago, as we got figured out what we were going to owe for taxes and all that at the end of the year and did all that, my wife and I both put money into Roth IRAs because it was so low. And again, to your point, there's no way to time it. If you try to time it, you have to be right, lightning strike twice, when to get out and when to get it back in. So
yep.
We put money into Roth IRAs, and yes, with the understanding that it might go lower and it might not be the absolute perfect day to do it, but at the same time, like you said, it's the blue light special. If you have the opportunity and some cash on hand that you can get in, it's not a bad idea.
It's absolutely not a bad idea. Also, if part of your financial plan includes doing Roth conversions, whether it's in your IRA or your 401k, now's the time to do those because they're on sale for the same reason the market's on sale. So those are important. Also, you really want to contribute to things that you know you were going to do already. 529 plans for your kids. Now's the time to do it. If you were going to fill up a HSA, you know, health savings account, and you have the ability to do a lump sum contribution and you have the funds available to do it, now's the time to do it. Also, rebalancing your portfolio. And I know this doesn't feel right. It's counterintuitive to the way you feel.
Yes.
But if you have any fixed income or what we call stable value funds in your portfolio, now's the time to switch those up and buy some equity funds because, again, they're on sale.
Okay. So, you know, we talked about things, the market being on sale and getting in, and this might be an opportunity to buy some things. But what about holding on for the ride? And again, don't sell. It's dropping. And we know psychologically people have a bigger fear of losing money than they do excitement of gaining money. But how do you battle that counterintuitiveness of, oh my God, I'm panicking. I want to get out. I can't stand looking at this drop in my portfolio anymore.
Yep.
What do you tell somebody about holding on?
Oh, wow. That's a really, really hard thing because you're absolutely right. The fear of loss is far greater than the possibility of gain for most people. But what I suggest you do is really look back over history, right? One of the things that, John, I'll have you attach to the show notes of this show is a piece from our friends at First Trust that talked about how each epidemic or health scare we've had over the years since the 1980s, when the HIV/AIDS epidemic gripped the nation, we've gone from that to the swine and the bird flu to Ebola to measles and now to where we are with COVID-19. Almost all of the time in the periods following the initial panic, the market has recovered and recovered far stronger than before. So if we look at the average return has been positive of the S&P over the 6 months following the pandemic in 11 of 12 of the cases. And the 12-month change after the pandemic has been positive in 9 of the 11 cases that we look at. So history is on our side here for the market recovering and recovering very strongly.
So again, past performance can't predict future results necessarily, but historically, the way you look at the trends, in most cases, it does bounce back.
It does. It does. And I think the question in this case is really how quickly it's going to bounce back. There is also a lot of data out there saying that this will be a very steep and swift recession and just as equally could be a swift recovery. And so, you know, that's really what we're looking at is how long can you stand the pain for? And what what I tell a lot of my clients is just don't look, right? Just don't look. Because these are the times that it is really, really hard to do what you know the right thing is to do. And honestly, the right thing in this period of time, if you can, is to buy more. So, you know, I know that feels a bit counterintuitive, but Warren Buffett has said that you need to be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. And that's exactly what he means by that. So he's one of the smartest investors and smartest men I know. So keeping yourself from doing what you want to do, but what you know is the wrong thing, which is to sell and sort of sit on the sidelines and wait, is really the hardest part here. So please, 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 I cannot stress this enough. If you really think that you want to sell, talk to somebody that understands all of this stuff, because when you sell and you're at the bottom or near the bottom, you kind of do some really bad things to your long-term financial plan. One of the most important things you do is that you lock in your losses. You admit that you've lost that money, right? Once you sell, you actually have lost. And that isn't the case until you press that button to sell. So as we've talked about, if the market goes back up, you don't get to participate in that either, because then you have to decide when the right time is to get back in. You mentioned this earlier, lightning has to strike twice, right?
Yeah.
So that's important.
You know, and I think back to the most recent financial trouble we've had, which was, of course, back in 2008, 2009, and the people who panicked and got out versus the people that just took a big gulp and swallow and stayed in the market, and they saw very different results, right?
Yeah, there is absolutely a ton of research out there about this. And really what it comes down to is having an advisor that really educates you and helps you understand that this is all part of the trajectory of the market. Mm-hmm. Ups and downs are part of the market. And if you have a strong financial plan, your financial plan has figured in something like this every 7 to 10 years. It's part of the deal when you're an investor.
And I like that. It really comes back to having that plan, whether it's how you start, when you rebalance, all that. And I think when you sit down with a financial advisor to make your plan for starters, one of the first questions that Shanna or anybody else will ask you is your risk tolerance and how risk averse are you? And it's very easy to sit there in front of a piece of paper or a computer monitor and say, okay, I can withstand this. I'm okay to handle this. But now we're talking about real world stuff.
Real numbers.
Now we're talking about, like you said, I made the mistake of logging into my accounts the other day and looking and seeing what I'd lost and I got a little sick to my stomach. But it really pays to have the plan. So the plan builds into it this sort of market volatility that we're experiencing now. And again, nobody could have predicted COVID-19 and the coronavirus affecting the way it is, but we can predict the fact the market's going to be volatile because that's just part of the equation.
It is.
So having the plan, knowing what your risk tolerance is in real world terms, and then knowing what to do in certain situations and not give in to your emotions, which is why you need that outside perspective. Somebody like Shanna can really get you set up from the start and to help you ride through things like this.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing that I didn't mention that I really want to mention as well is dividends and interest. So this is something that I remind my clients of when we're in periods of this sort of tumultuous up and down sort of roller coaster. If you're investing systematically, let's say in your 401k or in an IRA, mm-hmm. you're going to catch some periods of time where the market's going up and you're going to catch it in some periods of time where the market's going down. So are the dividends and interest that keep coming back into your account and buying more shares. So if you got a deposit into your 401k last week, or one of your investments kicked off a dividend and it came in and it bought more shares of that same investment, you were able to buy in without even realizing it at a discount price. And if you sell, you eliminate that possibility from happening. It's just a bad thing all around. So really maintaining that positive outlook, that positive attitude, and talking and really interfacing with an advisor that can explain those things to you when you're feeling jittery, when you're feeling like you want to press the sell button, is super, super important in times like this. And as you mentioned, it's not a bad time to revisit your risk tolerance, because now it's really fresh in your mind. So maybe we need to adjust those investments when we come out of this a little bit, so that if you really want to sell now, we don't have that terrible, horrible feeling the next time this happens. Because guess what, John? It's going to happen again. We just don't know when.
Markets go up, markets go down. It's the way of things. So if you need help calming those jitters and refraining from clicking that sell button, Shanna, what are the best ways for somebody to come talk to you at Heritage Financial?
Yeah, absolutely. So you can go to my website, heritagefinancialaz.com, click on schedule a consultation in the top right corner. And no matter where you are in the country, we can talk. I'm doing a ton of virtual meetings these days, and I'd love to do it. I also have a specific page now on my website under resources talking about market volatility, where I've posted a lot of articles, some videos. This podcast will go up there. And it really is a way for you to subscribe, get the information directly sent to you when I post it, and then you can decide what you want to read and how you want to react with your own investments. And I'd love for you to go in and subscribe and let me know what you think.
And we'll include all the links and resources from today's show in our show notes. You can scroll down and click on them when you're somewhere safe to do so. Shanna, a lot going on right now. Really appreciate the time this morning. I know you probably spent a lot of time on the phone and in virtual meetings right about now. So always appreciate the time and the perspective, and we'll talk again soon.
Oh, thanks so much. Great being here today.